If you would, this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 to begin our lesson today. Matthew chapter 7, well, we'll read some, famous and well-known verses. Beginning in verse 24, we'll read down through verse 27. Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You know, we traveled to Charleston, South Carolina this summer, and it was the first time that I was able to ever in my life see the ocean. Josh and I had never seen it before. We were able to go down to the beach, and the beach that we were able to go to was a residential area, much more than a commercial area, and you saw houses built right there, just not too far inland from the beach, protected kind of by the dunes and the wetlands, the marsh area, but close enough to the ocean that many of them were built on, built up on stilts. They had that ability that the water could come ashore, be several feet deep, many feet deep, maybe 8-10 feet deep, and not reach the house. And of course, not too many months after we returned home from there, that part of the country was hit by some pretty big waves. Some of those houses got washed right out to sea. Some of those houses fell. The same place we were, there were some rock and concrete bunkers built even previous to World War I, right along the coast. Those had been there that entire time. Those had seen the same weather, the same hurricanes, the same waves, the same high water. I'm sure they were damaged, but not damaged beyond the point that they could be, fixed back up. And it kind of, gave a real idea of some of those things that we read about here with the house on the rock and the house on the sand. A couple of years ago, we were at a wedding for one of the people in our family, and Don Carson from the Church of God in St. James was officiating that wedding, and he used these verses that we just read as the basis for his wedding message, which is something that I'd never heard these verses used for before, but it was incredibly fitting for a wedding and for that ceremony that was occurring and for the message that young couple needed to hear. If you think about marriage, and for any of us here who have been married for an extended period of time, that analogy definitely rings true. Over the years, the storms will come and they'll hit, and some of them will be bigger than others on the relationship of that marriage. And it doesn't go away. A lot of times people think that, if you make it through the first few years, it's all fine after that. But just various different things happen to us as we go through our lives, and to us and those that are our partners in marriage, and it makes, different stretches and different times more difficult than others. And the question remains then, will that marriage stand or will that marriage fall over the years and the storms and the tests? The concept is very simple. Jesus must be the foundation on which the union, in that particular case that Mr. Carson was talking about, the marriage is built. If he is not, then the union is likely to fail. I am not a carpenter at all. I'm a terrible, terrible person with building things using my hands. I have been with and witnessed the work of some very good carpenters over the years. But this concept's very easy to understand. Things that are on the top of a house can be damaged and be repaired. It may be costly, but if your roof blows off, the thing you do to fix that is put on a new roof. And then your house is pretty fine. It will function as a house as soon as that new roof is put on the house. Those damages that occur to things up above in the top part of the house may be costly to repair, but they can be repaired and the house can continue to function as it was supposed to function and it's meant to function. But damage to the foundation of a house, if bad enough, can cause the entire demolition of the house. It may be necessary to just tear down the house and build back something where that house once stood. Of course, this is not just true of marriage, but of our lives as individuals as a whole. And through marriage, we go through life together. You go through life with a partner. But each and every one of us must go through life on our own and as individuals. And Jesus has to be the foundation of our lives as well. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll read verses 10 through 17. Where it says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful now how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, where we'll read verses 19 through 22. Paul writes, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." And I think here we see that this analogy is taken to a different level, isn't it? We started out talking about a marriage at the beginning of our lesson, and we kind of brought it to the point of each individual on our own needing to be built upon the foundation of Christ. And now we see here, I think, that this is clearly talking about the church as a whole, isn't it? That how we come together. Of course, in the Bible, God described the church and marriage in similar ways. So let's turn now to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read again part of what John read for us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 4. "And coming to him, as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture: Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I think one thing that we need to remember is that throughout the idea of this lesson, God isn't telling us, and the scriptures don't tell us. Jesus didn't tell us whenever he was alive that we weren't going to encounter those storms. In fact, I think quite the opposite. I think that we're told that our life will be full of struggles on an individual basis, on our basis with our relationships with others, even sometimes in the basis of a relationship within the church. I think that we're told that we're going to have struggles. And it isn't going to be easy. The storms are going to come. The waves are going to come crashing in. And it makes it so important that we have to have our foundation has to be correct in order to withstand all of those difficult times whenever they come. As a young person, we think that that the difficult times are now. And even as an older person watching young people grow up and go through the different times of life that they go through, it is difficult for young people. But one of the things that makes it very difficult for them is they are at that time whenever they are going to have to decide, what is my foundation? Is my foundation built upon Jesus and built upon the Bible and built upon the church? Or am I going to trust in more worldly foundations to set my belief system upon? But again, those things don't go away the older that we get. Our challenges don't go away. In fact, I think we're challenged maybe more as older people. We have to ensure that ourselves, our relationships, our families, and our church are built upon the strongest and best foundation, the foundation that we have read about here today, the foundation that is Jesus. As Christ said in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself falls. Let's make sure that our foundations are strong foundations, the best foundations, foundations that cannot be shaken, and if shaken, will not fall. If there's anything that we can do to help anyone this morning, please let us know as we come forward and come forward as we stand and as we sing.